going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Holiday. Elusive kick, jumper, Brown, got it! Holiday swing, Brown, corner, in and out, Horford is there! It's a cleanup! Houston at the horn, and that's it. No Jason Tatum, no problem for the Boston Celtics. They defeat the Magic 109-100 to take a 2-0 series lead.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Oh, we'll get to the Celtics, but are you ready for the draft, Keefe?
I don't know. I think I might need a little bit more time.
Yeah?
I'd like to analyze it a little bit longer. I think maybe give me like another week of this.
You feel rushed.
I need another week. Yeah, I feel like it's snuck up on us.
You're like, wait.
I'm not prepared at all for the draft.
Where has the time gone?
We haven't talked about any of the players. We haven't talked about any of the scenarios. I want to know how you feel about Will Campbell. I want to know how you feel about Travis Hunter. We haven't had a chance to do any of this.
I've been meaning to get to the arm lengths.
Yes.
I've been meaning to get
40
to
times.
Whether or not I would play Travis Hunter on both sides of the football.
Would you do it? We need to get into this a little bit more. This is like, oh my God, you wake up and bang in the draft.
It's true. You blink and where's the time gone?
Wow.
It's like they beat Buffalo and next thing you know, the draft is here.
Just yesterday, Joe Milton was out there throwing the ball against the Bills' thirds. Just yesterday, cost you the number one pick in the draft. We are here. It is finally here.
We have loads and loads of draft coverage today. Chris Scheim.
Scheim time.
That's right. Going to be joining us in studio. He's one of what we like to call the big five of the mock drafters out there.
Yeah.
Kuiper, Jeremiah, Schrager, McShay, Scheim.
That's right.
So we'll be doing that with Scheim coming up at 10:30. He's going to join us for a full half an hour leading into some Bruins talk. Bridget's here today. We're going to talk some bees. We got Brad on the show.
She was front and center for that.
Oh, she was there.
That massacre of a press conference yesterday.
It really was.
Yeah.
Bradfoe is going to be on talking Sox at 11:30. Final Hate It Love It today, 11:45.
Man.
We'll go on the clock and give you our plans for the Patriots and the draft tonight.
I'm cooking up something pretty good.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it not cooked yet?
No, it will be.
Okay.
It's almost done.
Okay, good.
A few more minutes left in the oven.
It's in the crock pot pot.
Oh, yeah.
But let's start with the Celtics. Their victory last night, Keith. No Jason Tatum. And this is not my phrasing, but as you heard there in the open.
Sure.
No problem.
There was no problem.
Other people's words, not mine.
No, not
they
yours.
They didn't seem to miss Jason Tatum last night.
Nope.
What'd you think of the victory?
I thought it was kind of, similar a little bit to game one. Now, I know they were losing in game one at the half, then they came out and they won by more than they ended up winning in game two. But it was one where the score was relatively close, but you never at any point thought the Magic were going to win the game.
No.
Like, ever. And so they're trying to muck it up as best as they can. That's all they can do. Like, I kind of, tip my cap to them. If you want to, trip guys or foul guys or whatever, you got to do it. The problem with them is,
what did the court taste like?
Blood.
Yeah, you got blooded. You got a blade. You got bladed there. No, but it was a game where obviously Jaylen Brown was
like the Ram
was dominant. Randy the Ram, yeah. On the top rope. Yeah, it was great. It was good to see Kristaps Porzingis bleed all over the place. The crowd's going nuts. No, but it was one of those games where, you know, like they say with football teams, they're like, hey, just hold every time they can't call all the holdings. It felt like the Magic were like, hey, foul them every time they can't call all the fouls. But 100%. They did call all the fouls, and they're at the free throw line all game. The game took forever. But no, I mean, they're a much, much better team. They could be out any one or two starters, maybe even three, against a team like the Orlando Magic and still win the series in four games. So it was just a game that they had to go out there and win, and they did.
So I was so impressed. We'll get to Porzingis in a moment, because to me that's really a Tatum story, not even a Porzingis story, but we'll get to it coming up. I was so impressed with Brown last night. And I thought that was an excellent, excellent game. It's everything you could have wanted with Tatum out of the lineup for Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Twitch chat is already mocking me. Jones, would you trade Jaylen Brown? I mean, yeah, probably in the right deal still.
And for
I'm
who?
I've traded him 18 million times in the course of my life, and I've been wrong almost every single time. But last night, he was so impressive. There's no Tatum. You need to start quickly. He's the guy who comes out and dominates in the first quarter. You're a little flat at halftime. You're up three, I think it was, at half. Magic cut it to one right away to start the half. Jaylen Brown comes out, two threes. Derek White hits a couple of big shots midway through the fourth, late in the fourth. It's tightening up a little bit. I'm with you. Orlando's not really threatening, but
right.
It's a two-possession game. It's a three-possession game. They're mm-hmm. still hanging around. Mm-hmm. Jaylen hits the moon ball, the Ephus pitch, as they called it
they
last night on the broadcast.
Ephus, yeah.
And he hits another couple of big shots down the stretch. And so I think that was a statement game from Jaylen Brown. Yeah, it's only the Orlando Magic, but he hasn't been 100%. I've been questioning his health, his movement, the intelligence of him playing through a bone bruise down the stretch. And then he comes out and does that last night when they need him without Jason mm-hmm. Tatum. Incredible statement game for Jaylen Brown, who, you know, I think from time to time probably relishes a moment like that where it can be his team
and
he can take over, because he often, despite being Eastern Conference Final MVP, NBA Finals MVP, he often spends his time in Tatum's shadow, and that was a rare moment for him to really be front and center carrying the team, and it was a great moment.
He even talked about it post-game. He's like, Tatum is the guy that we run our offense through, basically, but there are other nights where I can, you know, have a performance like this type of thing, and yeah, he had it, and we know that he has it in him, right? He finals MVP, to your point. Like, once you win something like that, we know that you can carry a team. This is also, to me, what separates them from some of the other title contenders, and maybe put the Lakers to the side, right? Because obviously they have LeBron and Luka. But if you're looking at the other two teams, maybe Oklahoma City and Cleveland as like the next two best teams, and let's say Donovan Mitchell or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out with a wrist injury, I don't know if their second guy is capable of doing what Jaylen Brown did.
No.
And certainly when they're all on the court together and you have that other option, or if you have both guys going, like, yeah, you know, Darius Garland and Jalen Williams are fine, but like, they're not Jaylen Brown. Like, that is why they should be the favorite to win the title, and he proved it once again. Like, you have a locked in Jaylen Brown, which was also good to see, because game one, he wasn't great. Game one, we started talking a lot about Tatum and the wrist and Joe Mazzulla's reaction to it, but their sort of big three, Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis, all did not play very well in game one. Didn't matter, because it's the Magic, but they didn't play very well. So then game two, you don't have Tatum, and both Porzingis and certainly Brown played a whole lot better.
No, and you're right. Porzingis was better. Porzingis also all bloody.
What a maniac.
Last night.
What a maniac.
I mean, I was telling this to Nick. I think it was before you got here this morning. I was telling this to Nick and Bridget back there that the game was replaying. I just had it on at the house today. It was replaying on NBC Sports Boston. I watched on TNT last night. I wanted to get my fill of Drew and Scal this morning.
Yeah. You want to hear Grant Hill yesterday?
I was replaying. Oh, my God. Grant Hill was so proud of that. He made one Bruins reference late in the game. He's like, he looks like a Boston Bruin out there, and he's so proud of himself.
He's like, yes, get it?
Cricket City.
Like, yeah, we get it.
But so it was replaying at the house, and I go, hey, Lucas, come watch this. It was like a minute before it happened. And he's like, Porzingis takes the elbow off the face, which Horford did the same thing, by the way, to Orlando earlier in the game.
Yeah, we got Wendell Carter in the cheek, the forehead.
This one drew blood.
Yeah.
A lot of blood.
Wow.
Some would say too much blood.
Do you think too much blood? They should have blurred it?
Clean up the blood. Like, why did he come back out with dried blood?
He had to take
dried
the free
blood
throws,
running down
Jones.
His.
I know, but
wipe his head.
You can stick his head in the shower or something, or like wipe it off, because that's what Grant Hill was even saying too. He's like, I've never seen this. Like, there's blood all over the guy's head. It's dripping down his head, dripping down the back of it. I don't. like, listen, I've been on this planet 41 years, Jones. There's been gravity all 41 years.
Yeah.
How did blood, when he was standing up, trickle Sick up rag, his bro. Head?
I don't know.
You notice that?
I did notice that.
The blood wasn't just dripping down, which it should. Based on all scientific laws, it was going up and over.
He had stalactites and stalagmites. He had them going both ways.
I was super confused by it, but it was wild. Well, and he loved it. He loved it.
Let me tell you, dude wipes, if you ever had a moment, wipe that off.
Don't flush him.
No.
Do not flush him.
But this is my roundabout point. He's a lunatic. And my kid goes, so he gets the elbow to the face. He gets the 5 stitches. He's walking off the court. And it's like,
that thing opened up. That guy's got like switchblades in his elbows.
Something's going on there. But so he walks right off the court. He's smiling going off. And my son's like, why is he smiling? I'm like, because he's crazy.
Because he's a crazy
person.
He's
an absolute lunatic.
Missoula's
is what he
like,
is.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's hear Missoula. Yeah, you got Missoula back there, Nick?
Yeah. That's why he didn't lick it off.
Sir Missoula.
Yeah, I mean, I like his overall just approach. I think he has an innate ability to take things very serious and at the same time, have great perspective. And, you know, you see how I think he can control his environment really well with how he handles the crowd and how he handles the physicality of it. And he can maintain his kind of his poise. And he just has a great way about him. And I think that helps us. And, like, yeah, I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he comes back in and does his job. So I do like that about him.
Comes back in and does his job.
Wait,
interesting.
What?
Interesting little line there. But he likes to watch him bleed.
You think it's a dig
I like
tail.
Watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important.
I watch him bleed!
Wait, why is it important?
Well,
I think it's important.
Who knows?
Hey, not enough of you guys are bleeding on the court. Do you really have what it takes to win? Like, we just won it last year, Coach. Like, we obviously have what it takes.
KP hasn't bled out there yet.
You guys haven't bled all over the floor like that.
So
he thought that was important.
He liked
it. And it was. But Porzingis was hilarious. Because even before he was bloody, when he got fouled and he got like pushed in the crowd, he's like high-fiving guys. I don't think anybody's having a better time than Porzingis.
No.
He loves it because he's played on a lot of bad teams.
Yeah.
So now when you're in like a playoff atmosphere, the guy is loving life.
You want some Porzingis bleeding everywhere?
Of course.
All right, here's KP after the game.
No, honestly, how can I not come out? Like, I have 5 stitches. I can't play anymore. Like, no, like my legs work. Everything works, you know? So, of course, I'm going to be out there. And as I said, you know me. I like these moments. You know? I come back out again and, you know, get a little love from the crowd, you know? So, yeah, it just happens within the game. And, if this is not going to stop me, you know? So I'm going to keep going.
I have a sick feeling that NBA Finals, if they're down in the game, say they play the Thunder, they're down the third quarter, Porzingis, to get the crowd into it, is going to go Dusty Rhodes style, kind of blade himself, then run on the court, blood dripping down his face, crowd's going to go insane.
Or Missoula headbutts him or something.
Missoula
like that.
Missoula's headbutt
like, hey, yeah. we gotta get the crowd
bite
going
him in
here.
The neck. Yeah, but that was, Grant Hill was annoying yesterday, but one thing, like, Porzingis has become an absolute fan favorite, and he kept saying that over and over again, but he's right.
Let me tell you. I mean, that was an awesome moment last night. A lesser man may point out, he went to the locker room and came back out quicker than I think Tatum got up the other day. And
we don't need to compare him to
a lesser man would point that out. Not me.
No, that man's not here today.
No, somebody else may point out.
Got it.
That Porzingis went and got stitches, got his head taped up, blood everywhere, and came back out quicker than Tatum got up in game 1.
Tatum was taped up.
Tatum got taped up and came back to the game. It took
some
time.
No.
Oh, the other day.
Yesterday.
He was
taped up to watch.
Yeah, interesting.
Again, not a doctor. You bone bruise, tape it up.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know.
Look, there's all kinds of different methods to heal up these days, Keith. You know, It's not 1985 anymore. Like, there's lots of different new methods to heal
up. Like, see, guys, I am hurt.
Yeah.
So next time I bang my shit, I'm going to tape it up. Just like tape. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
It might make me a bad person to go there, but it's like there's a lot today where Celtics fans want to talk about how tough Porzingis is. And I think he showed some toughness last night for sure. But the other side of that coin is the big softy that you have sitting out the game last night. And I can't help but connect the two. Listening to Porzingis, he's like, I had to be out there. My legs work. I'm fine. I'm out there. And Tatum's like, I have a bruise. It's pain tolerance. I'm missing a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help but connect those dots.
It is strange, though, with a guy that doesn't miss games. It's the first playoff game he's ever missed. You know, they were mentioning last night on the broadcast, like, the last playoff game the Celtics had without Jason Tatum.
The lineup
starting
was
lineup.
Crazy.
Like, Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Jay Crowder. Was it? I don't know. It was a mess. It was a disaster of a team. But Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's one thing if he missed games here and there, or, you know, would milk injuries, and they're like, oh, he's going to miss a game, and then he misses three. Like, you'd be like, okay, here we go again with Tatum. But this is so out of the norm, it's strange.
I will say, the worst look for Tatum would be they milk it, he's doubtful, and then he tries to have, like, a Willis Reed moment last night. That would have been a worse look. So out of the options, that was the better look.
Yeah, I guess.
Let me give you one lesser man stat, Keith, that a lesser man would point out, not me.
Sure.
But a lesser man point out.
I understand.
The Celtics are now 9-2 this year without Jason Tatum. So that is something that maybe someone else would point out. Well,
you're thinking maybe deal him?
I mean, that's what you said.
I asked you.
I just point
all those games against teams that were in the lottery.
Most likely.
Well, maybe this was a playoff game last night. I was that insignificant. It's a playoff game, and they won one without him. So I don't really understand what that has to do with anything.
I believe the two losses were both to Orlando, right?
One of the losses in the regular season was Orlando for sure. Yes,
both of them.
It might have been.
I think
looking at the game log last night, it was definitely one. It might have been both, yeah.
Because I remember going into the series, because remember we had a caller who was quick to point out, like, hey, guys, don't take Orlando lightly. They actually took 2 out of 3 from the Celtics. But then when you looked into it, one game they sat everybody, ooh, and then another game Tatum didn't play.
It's a good question by Sergeant Johnson's Johnson in the Twitch chat. Excellent question, Sergeant. Thank you for your service.
Johnson's Johnson? Just okay. To be clear,
what is the Celtics record with Tatum? Well, thank you for asking. Again, a lesser man would point this out: 54-19. It's a lower winning percentage, 8-18 to
54-19.
Yes.
Despite those numbers, I would take Tatum on my team.
You take him,
but you know what?
I think we need more.
I'd sit him out game three. I have no problem sitting him out game three.
No reason.
Why play him
if he's not cleared, or if they're really worried about something?
Have the luxury to sit him out, and even if you want to wait until. Play him in game four just so he's not super rusty for the first game of the next series. Uh-huh. But you could sit him here, and he's essentially out a week. He has like a week to rest this thing with only 2 games played.
So it would make me start to wonder if the injury is more serious than they're letting on. Because why just rest him? You don't need him against Orlando. I get that.
Right.
But if it really is pain tolerance, and he really was close to getting out there, and he was on the court working out yesterday prior to the game, then you start to wonder if the injury is more than they're letting on. You can jump in here all day long, 617-779-7937. We are lucky today to be in the presence of one of the big 5 mock drafters.
Yeah.
Not Kuiper.
No, well, he's not here.
Not Jeremiah.
He's probably busy.
Not Schrager.
Also busy.
Not McShay.
No.
But Chris Schein will be here.
Hell
one of the big 5 mock drafters.
That's right.
So he is going to join us in studio with all your draft questions. You can jump in on the Celtics as well. But happy draft day. We usually go on the clock around high noon. It's a short program today. With day one, night one of the NFL draft, we're going to go on the clock with our plans for the Patriots, what they need to do, what they should do tonight. If you want some time on that, we'll give you 30 seconds as well. Keith, I believe you went first last time. You want me to get in the driver's seat
here?
Yeah.
I only have one plan, though, so if you steal my plan, I might have to just repeat the plan. So hopefully it's not the same plan.
Ditto.
I can just replay Jones's if you want.
Just do that. I'll point to you, Nick, and be like, I got nothing to add to that.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it.
Let's go on the clock here, Nick, if you don't mind. What the Patriots should do tonight in the draft in 60 seconds. Well, Tennessee's going to take Ward number one. Hunter's going to go number two to Cleveland. Carter goes 3 to the Giants. So now the question is, what do the Patriots do? Most would take Will Campbell, the offensive tackle, they think, out of LSU. Not me. At 4, the Patriots should take Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State. He's productive. He's explosive. He's your version of Saquon Barkley. Anytime you get compared to Barry Sanders, that's a good thing. So that's a selection for me at 4, but they're not done there. No. The Patriots still need a tackle. I'm calling the Vikings at pick 24, and I'm offering number 38 and 77. That's the pick for Matt Judon. That should be enough, according to the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, to get a deal done. I'm moving up. I'm taking the offensive tackle out of Ohio State. I think the best bet as a left tackle at the next level, Josh Simmons. He does have injury concerns, but to me, he's worth the risk. You get Jeanty, you get Simmons, you get help for Drake May, and I think you're back in the playoffs.
Wow!
How about that? 60 seconds, Keith? That's not your plan. That can't be your plan.
It's kinda.
Is it close?
Well, tune in to find out.
All right, let's find out.
Nick, hit me. All right, here's what the Patriots should do tonight. You pray that Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter falls to 4. Probably won't happen, so you have to make another plan. You draft Ashton Jeanty. I know what you're thinking. Keith, they need a tackle. I thought you liked Will Campbell. No, not so fast, because I'm taking my second third-round pick. I'm trading it to the Raiders for Colton Miller. So now I have my starting left tackle in Colton Miller. I draft Ashton Jeanty at number 4 for all the reasons Jones mentioned, a dynamic player, best offensive player in the draft, straight-up offensive player in the draft. I also take my second round pick, number 38 overall, and my higher of the two third round picks. I trade back into the first round, into the 20s, where I draft Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. So I take my first three round picks, and I turn it into Ashton Jeanty, Matthew Golden, and Colton Miller. Drake May gets a running back, a wide receiver to grow with for the future, and a starting big hoss tackle to start right away. And you have to sign him to an extension as well.
I hate to say it. I like Keith's plan better.
Yeah.
Colton Miller.
Colton
Miller. It's right under my nose. Right, right there.
I was like, I know Jenty's your thing. I didn't want to steal your thing.
Damn it.
But I don't. I'm only taking Will Campbell if I can't get one of those other deals done.
God, that's a good plan.
Thank you.
All right, well, you can jump in with your own plans for the Patriots. Tonight, what should they get done on night one of the NFL draft, along with all your Celtics phone calls? 617-779-7937. We're fortunate to be in the presence of one of the big five mock drafters.
Get him in here.
Chris Scheib, WEEI, will join us in studio right after Trending with...
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Bridget Pru.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
If there's one thing to know about the Patriots' intentions, it's that they want to come out of this draft with more infrastructure around quarterback Drake May. They feel they have their quarterback of the future. Now it's about putting more pieces around him to help him be successful. Now, I am told that they are willing to move down from that number four pick, but at this point, interest in the pick has been modest. Now, a lot will depend on what happens 1, 2, 3 in terms of who is available to the Patriots. But another thing to know, They've spent a lot of time with left tackles. Head coach Mike Vrabel saying he believes that position will be good for the Patriots in this draft at different levels. And LSU's Will Campbell, one to keep an eye on at number four as a possibility. Campbell was a pre-draft visitor here in Foxborough, and scouts that have studied him tell me that his nasty on-field demeanor and his team-first attitude would likely appeal to Vrabel as Vrabel builds his culture here in New England.
We got WEEI Afternoons, Hart and Ted, boots on the ground in Green Bay.
All night long, too.
We got an all-night long draft show.
That's right.
Scheim will be a part of it with Fitzy, Mego. Who else is on?
Christian Arkand.
Arkand.
We'll be there all night long, so keep it locked here on EEI. Scheim, gracious enough to hang out with us here for the next half hour. All your draft thoughts at 617-779-7937. You can mix in some on the Celtics as well. Now, Scheim, I don't know if you heard both of our draft plans for tonight. Did you hear this?
I heard bits and pieces.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I want
They're
them.
Good.
I want Genty at four. Yep. I want to trade up for a tackle in the 20s. I like Simmons, but that's my plan. What's yours?
I'm also taking Genty
yep.
because I'm trading for Colton Miller.
Yep.
And then I'm going to trade into the 20s and get a wide receiver. I said Matthew Golden. He might go higher than that, but I'm going with a receiver in the 20s.
Okay. Yeah. So, to be honest, I like both.
Okay.
But
which do you like better?
Probably Keefe's.
Even I like Keefe's better.
I do, too. Yeah. Well, because Colton Miller, I've been on the Colton Miller train as soon as he seemed like he became available.
Yeah.
So that's exactly who I wanted. And then you're getting two weapons instead of only one and an offensive lineman. So I think for me, that is easily the winner. But like at the same time, if I come away with Genty and an offensive lineman, I am thrilled.
So, right.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so we're looking at all the, what we would consider the big five mocks out there.
Mm-hmm.
You heard some of Mike Reese today. There are others out there as well, but I was looking at Mel Kiper. He has Will Campbell, pick four to the Patriots. I was looking at Todd McShay, Will Campbell, pick four to the Patriots. Mm. Daniel Jeremiah, pick four to the Patriots, Will Campbell. Yeah.
There's a bit of a consensus happening,
Peter
John.
Schrager, Will Campbell, fourth overall to the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris Scheim, who you put out your final mock on Monday. You actually
Correct.
Beat all these guys to this.
Yes,
I think you kind of set the precedent here.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Will Campbell to the Pats, pick number four overall. That is the consensus. Do you think that's what actually happens tonight?
Yeah, unfortunately. It's sad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah,
I know
like
you guys
that.
Are going to be disappointed. It is, I guess, technically the best hoss available.
I guess. No, I know. I guess I like it more than everybody else here, but even then it's going to be met with sort of a, all right.
Like, I've been arguing with Wiggy a little bit about this. If it was, or Wiggy, even Curtis, too. If
Wiggy
it,
doesn't even want to tackle.
No.
He doesn't think you should ever take linemen.
He doesn't want to draft him.
But, like, if this was Joe Alt,
yeah, yeah, right.
I would be dancing in the street to take him fourth overall. It's not. He's not a perennial all-pro, at least from what I could tell. He might be pretty good. He might be bad. He might just be a guard. Ugh. And if he's a guard, I don't want to take a guard at four overall.
No, this is my thing where I don't think you can look at it and just base it off of positions. But mm-hmm. best left tackle isn't always the same. Best wide receiver isn't always the same. You and I disagree on this, but I don't want Tet McMillan. But if Marvin Harrison was in this draft, I'd be saying take him at four.
Absolutely.
Or if Malik Nabers was in
Jamar
this draft.
Chase was taken fourth overall.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, we've sort of pivoted to running back, which I wouldn't normally take it for, or even tight end. I know that a lot of people, Wiggy likes him, Kern likes Tyler Warren out of Penn State. I wouldn't normally take a tight end at four, but when the linemen and the receivers...
It's not a normal draft.
It's not.
No, it's not.
And that's why I like those guys. All right, I have a fun game I want to play with you.
I like games.
I'm going to name a guy.
Hell yeah.
And then in, let's say, five words or less, you have to give me your reaction to if the Patriots draft this player.
Okay, I love this game.
So if the player is Ashton Genty, what is your reaction?
I am so pumped.
So pumped.
I loved it.
If it is Abdul Carter, what is your reaction?
Pants off.
Pants are off.
I loved
Pants
it.
Are off.
In Hot. A good way.
All the way off.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
If
good.
It's Travis Hunter.
Mm.
Oh, no.
I don't
hate
love
it.
That.
He hates Hunter.
I
he does
don't
hate
Hunter. Like that.
I know. I don't care for that. All right. If it's Tet McMillan.
I'm amped.
He's amped.
I am
I
straight
it.
Up amped.
On the scale of amped to pants being removed from your body.
Pants,
where,
pants half down?
Amped. Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah,
amped is like an 8.5. Pants off is like an 11 out of 10.
All right, I got a couple more. Mason Graham.
No, thank you.
Okay.
That's polite.
Armon Membu.
I get it.
He gets it. And then finally, Will Campbell.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I guess...
So not a great reaction to most of them.
I
no, not really.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they take a lineman at four. Is there a chance it's not Will Campbell and it is Membu, or it is? I've started to see Kelvin Banks everywhere.
Yes. Up the
He's
board.
Sixth overall to the Raiders. Nick made a good point. That might just be a connection to Colton Miller getting dealt by the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like all the mock drafters, yourself included, got the tip on this one, and it's like there's a connection here, or maybe people are just connecting dots. Is it possible we're just on the wrong lineman? We have the right position, but it's the wrong player at four.
Maybe there's a chance. I don't think so. It seems I haven't heard much of anything about Membu from the Patriots camp, like at all. I know they've done their research on him, but it is really quiet.
Maybe.
And I mean, Peter Schrager did say that Elliot Wolf likes to lie to him. So
true. Don't trust him.
If that information is out there, maybe they do like Membu a lot. I connected Membu to the Raiders in a similar fashion as a lot of people are connecting Banks to the Raiders. I just think they need offensive line, especially with the departure of probably Colton Miller. So for me, that's kind of where I see Membu going. I would probably be happier if the Patriots took Membu, because to me that indicates they believe he can play left tackle, even though he's played right tackle the majority of his college career, and he can make that switch, and he just is a more prototypical tackle size, which I like.
All right, difference between the first or second best tackle, depending on who you think that is,
yep,
and say like the fifth tackle. I mean, like, so if you're going Jones's plan,
yeah,
where you trade into the late first round, how big of a discrepancy?
I don't think it's massive. Like, I think the gap between Ashton Jeanty and the running back you would get at, what is it, 36 is the pick?
38.
Is far, far greater than the difference between Will Campbell or Membu and the tackle you would get at 38. Like,
yeah.
I think Ariante Ursery is a tackle out of Minnesota who would be available for you at 38. I love him. I think he's awesome. I think he can start for you day one. The guy is a monster, absolute monster, mauler. I think Vrabel would love that. So to me, like, that's what I would do. That's why I wouldn't use four on a lineman. There's going to be guys who are almost as good as the guy at four at 38, whereas with positions like running back and receiver, there aren't.
And the risk is way less there. If Ursery it needs to go to right tackle, the risk was 38 versus the risk being four, and your
Bingo.
Guy's kicking to guard. You want to grade a few draft plans? We have some people who want to go on the clock. You want to grade them?
I'd love that.
We'll have Scheim grade your draft plan. You can go on the clock. You can have 30 seconds. Let's start with John in Rhode Island. You're on the clock, John.
Hey, guys. Happy draft day. We made it. It's like Christmas in April. Listen, my draft plan is we need two players tonight. I don't care the order. We need two starters, whether it's a running back and a guard, a running back and a tackle, a receiver and a tight end, a running back and an O-line. Two players tonight. I'm happy, and we celebrate with our pants off.
All right, maybe landed it there at the end. Now, he wasn't very specific
there
on the players.
A lot of specifics.
So
not
I
a lot
guess
of details.
Great, kind of an incomplete, not to steal. I don't, you can grade the plan.
I thought Shine was grading.
No, I know, but kind of incomplete.
Yeah.
But two players.
Yeah,
how do you feel
no.
about two players?
He turned it in, so I'll give him a C+.
Okay, good.
Turn
it in gets turn a C-plus from Professor Scheim.
Yeah, Big because he's right. They do need to get two players tonight.
Wow. Two players.
The positions he was throwing out, I wouldn't necessarily pair them. Like, receiver, tight end, I wouldn't go both in the first round.
Guard?
But if you're talking about receiver, lineman, running back, lineman, tight end, lineman, like, those things mean a lot to me. Like, I am totally cool with that. I'd even be fine with, like, if you trade out of four and then move back in, so you're at picking at, say, like, 8 and 28.
You
get Jalen Walker and Travion Henderson,
right, so actually,
or Jalen Walker and Josh Simmons.
Pause on Walker for a second, because I feel like Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are kind of a separate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm really anti-defense.
Really? Okay.
Only because what they did in free agency
and what they need.
Like, so we were going through the list of guys like Will Johnson and Mason Graham, and Walker's a good one, like, they might all be good players. I feel like I can't pass up on one of the two really good tight ends or one of the offensive linemen or Jeanty in place of a defensive player on this
team. Yeah, so I get it with Jeanty. For me, the tight ends don't make sense. First round tight ends outside of Brock Bowers don't work. They don't. Dalton Kincaid, Sam LaPorta took, or it was the second rounder. T.J. Hawkinson took
LaPorta
a couple
was
years.
Basically a first rounder, but
Kyle
he's 34.
Pitts,
yeah,
like
no, fair.
You look through the first rounder tight ends, and they just don't pan out generally outside of Brock Bowers. And everybody's just so enamored with what Bowers was last year, and he was amazing, that they want a guy like Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. I don't want to touch them.
Did you ever hear of Tony Gonzalez, Sean?
Okay. You want to go all the way back to what, 2000?
1997.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I was five. Thank
you ever hear about him?
Yeah.
Pretty good first round pick, I'd say.
If you want Shime to grade your plan, hopefully you have a few more details than our pal John.
That was broad brushes.
It was broad brush, but you turned it in C+.
He just wanted to do the pants off joke.
That's what it was for. Let's throw Ray and Revere on the clock. Ray, you're on the clock. Go ahead.
All right, Ray.
Yeah, guys, I trade for Colton Miller. And by the way, Laramie Tunsil went for a third round pick. Adam Peters is playing chess, guys, and we're playing checkers. But anyway, that's your comp. Third round pick, give him the bag. Trade out of four, trade back, go for defensive lineman and edge, and get two players out of that fourth pick. Thank you.
All right, we're kind of scrambling for specifics, it feels like, which is fine. Not everybody knows all the players in the draft.
Okay. We didn't really
D-line and edge.
We didn't set up everybody that they were going to get graded by Shime. And I think that's scaring people. But what would you grade that one?
That's more of like a C-D+ for me. I think interior defensive line is not where you should be looking in the first or second round. I think there's plenty of options for that position in the later rounds. You have Milton Williams. You literally just gave Milton Williams a massive contract.
Yes.
And if Christian Barmore comes back at all this year, you're fine at tackle. You don't need a
defensive tackle.
I like pass rushers. I'm into pass rushers. I know you're not, but
I like pass rushers. Yeah, but I just don't want one right now in the first round.
I think this draft is loaded with pass rushers, which is why I'd be okay with going with a guy like Jaylen Walker if you traded out of four and down a little bit, because I think you're going to see a lot of them go in the first round because that's probably the strength of this draft.
So this is a higher grade than get two starters.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
A lower grade than two players.
So I don't want to jump the gun on anybody else's plan, but if you pitched, get three players.
That's at least a B.
Talk about
three
pants players.
Yeah. Now we're cooking. You can jump in line 617-779-7937. Shime talked about trading back. I know there's a player he likes very much for the Patriots that I think we disagree on him with. Keith, I want to get into Tetaroa McMillan coming up, and we'll mix in.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
More thoughts next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exhausting. I've heard it since I was 14 years old. You know, the school that I just went to, they said the same thing to me. You know, my coaches, you know, that everybody's had a concern with my arm length since I was 14 years old and I got my first offer. I didn't let it become a problem now or then. I'm not going to now. You know, there's some teams that want to play me at guard, and I'm fully willing to do that because I'm a team guy first. I want to win, and I want to win now. I don't want to wait, and if that means me playing early, me winning, is me at guard, me at extra receiver, me at tight end, that's what I'm going to do. So, like I said, wherever, you know, the opportunity presents itself for me to get on the field as fast as possible is what I'm going to do.
Will Campbell, we played that for you yesterday. Some teams are looking at me at guard.
Well, yeah, that'd be the wingspan talking.
Is that the Patriots at pick number four? I would hope not. But that was interesting for
Will
Campbell.
The Celtics game last night.
Oh, him and Kraft
hanging out.
Whooping it up.
You have a bigger problem with Belichick at the T-Wolves game before the Super Bowl or Vrabel at the Celtics game before the draft?
Belichick.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big game. They should know who they're taking it. There really shouldn't be much discussion about what they're doing it for, right?
What if they hurt our plans?
No. But
they might pivot.
They should know is what I'm saying.
Well,
like, you know,
so the issue is
by
you don't know what...
What do you mean you don't know? You don't know what's happening in front of you?
Things might change. I mean, according to Schrager... You know, the Browns and the Giants are interested in trading out. And so if somebody leapfrogs you and something changes, you have to just be prepared for that.
But if Carter or Hunter drop to you, you take them. I know you don't take Hunter, but that's what I do.
But do they? That to me is the absolute doomsday scenario, because Will Campbell honestly would be met with a bit of a shrug. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't love it. It's legit in the middle.
But if they're choosing between Carter and Campbell and they choose Campbell,
then I melt down.
Do you think that's in play?
Then I have a hissy fit.
I can't imagine that's in play. Jordan, if Abdul Carter's available.
Jordan Schultz thinks it. Ian Rappaport has hypothesized that as well, that they would
pass. If they're so locked in on Campbell, do they pass up a guy who's
That would be malpractice. Malfeasance, malpractice,
can we
whatever
sue
word
them?
You want to use. I would want to.
Yeah.
Because that's insane.
Malware, it's all the males.
Malware.
There are three blue chip players in this draft. Across the board. It's consensus. There's three.
It is
Abdul Carter, Ashton Jeanty, and then most people would say Travis Hunter. I would not. But most people would.
So you got Jeanty on that list.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the three blue chip players. That's it. If you're telling me you're going to take Will Campbell, a guy who you don't even know can play tackle in the NFL, over Abdul freaking Carter.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You're out of your mind.
Where's your guy T-Mac go? I know that's who you would take if you were at four and he's there. Where's he actually go? Because there's some buzz he goes five to the Jags.
Yeah, so I wouldn't rule that out. Currently, by the way, if you want to bet on it, you can. 6-1 odds to go five to the Jags. I don't rule that out. I think it's more likely they take McMillan at five.
Or suckers at that.
McMillan at five, then Mason Graham at five at this point almost. It seems like they're going to go offense, and I'm just not convinced that they're going to take Ashton Jeanty when you already have Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, and then you'd be paying Ashton Jeanty a top six running back salary based on the rookie pay scale. So
flip Etienne, though? You could maybe do that. Like, if you think Jenty's that much better, maybe you take in trade.
Yeah. Etienne was bad last year. He got beaten out by Bigsby.
Yeah.
Well, Tank Bigsby, good player. We saw he ran all over the paths.
Yeah, and the year before, he was awesome. So,
Two years ago, ETM was great. Last year, he was not good.
You know what's brutal,
that
though?
That team was also amazing.
Because I like a little draft surprise, right? And Nick was talking about this before the show. If you, on some of these betting sites, you can take, like, the exacta for, like, the first five picks, and it's still minus 120?
I think it's even less.
Or no.
It was minus 185 when we looked at
185.
I can tell you right now.
To go Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Jeanty.
That's insane. -210.
Okay, so it's moved almost 100 points since yesterday.
What are we doing here? So is there any chance that somebody in that five breaks that?
Yeah. Okay. It would have to be because
a trade?
Of a trade, my guess. I just, if those people are all sticking and picking, it feels like that might be the five. The Jaguars to me is a question mark. I wouldn't make it -210. I think that's too heavy because I'm still not convinced they're taking Ashton Jeanty. I'm just not. But the first four, I think are absolute locks.
Quarterback question. So I don't really like any of the quarterbacks. Jones likes Cam Ward. I don't really like any of them.
Yeah.
But I always think teams are dumb and overdraft them.
They are.
And so I don't like Jackson Dart. I don't even really like Shadur that much. But how many quarterbacks go in the first round? How many quarterbacks go in the top half of the first round?
So in my mock, I have four.
Okay.
I think there's a realistic chance four go in the first round.
Who's the fourth? Shuck?
Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
I think.
Did you do that because he's invited to the draft?
I think in part, yes. But also, I just have this weird inkling that the Steelers really like Jalen Milroe.
And run and throw. He's built like a brick house.
And that's Jalen Milroe for
us. Some like him,
It's a good breakdown.
He might be a better version of Justin Fields. I think they're interested in that type of quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to stick and pick a guy who reminds them at all of Kenny Pickett. Because they did that, it was an epic disaster. And they're like, we want to go in a totally different direction.
Don't pick another Kenny Pickett.
And they want to get aggressive with their offense a little bit more. They want to run the football and they want to pass it deep. And that's exactly what Jalen Milroe does. He has an absolute cannon and he runs like he is Lamar level athlete.
If the Patriots don't do what we all want them to do and move up in round two, is there an ideal fit at 38?
Yeah. So for me, assuming you take Campbell in the first round, I'm hoping and praying Travion Henderson is there at 38.
He's brought up Henderson a couple
times in the back. Okay.
I love Henderson. He's outside
tiny. He's fast. He's tiny.
Yeah, but
speed
size.
Kraft said speed back.
Size doesn't matter as much at running back. Yeah.
He completed the thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Size.
What?
At running back, it doesn't matter quite as much as it used to. Like, you look at a guy like Bucky Irving last year, got drafted, not a huge guy.
Gibbs isn't huge.
No, exactly. And so size right now at running back in the NFL doesn't matter because you just expect the short life to be small, or short, I should say.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really, you don't have to have the body mass to kind of eat up as many hits you used to.
Relax.
I mean, you asked the question.
I did.
And Travion Henderson is just an absolute big play waiting to
happen. That'd be good. We'll reset our big board tomorrow. going into round two and three.
Top Five Friday. We'll reset.
Top Five Friday. Five guys we want round two or three.
So it is all day, all night coverage on WEEI. You got WEEI afternoons in Green Bay. Hart and Ted Johnson. And then tonight, you got Arkin, you got Mego, you got Fitzy, you got Shime all evening long here on WEEI. You want to hear the Pats pick? You want to hear the reaction to Pats pick? The full breakdown? You have that as well.
Everyone's grumbling.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Draft day!
It's all right. I made a mistake last Saturday, way worse than that.
I called not a sucker's bet yesterday.
I did that.
Called it something else.
But we did that. I'm sure we'll get that.
It's all right. I mixed up Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter's last names. And I combined them.
Travis Carter?
Accident. No.
Abdul Hunter?
No. Combined the two last names.
Oh. Nope. Never. I won't. Okay.
Don't say it.
That's a wild one.
If Bridget
were all going to get fired.
If Bridget weren't here, maybe we would. All right. Well, listen to Shime tonight. Check out all his work on
David
Twitter
Ortiz.
At Shime Time. He's one of the big five mockers out there. Shime, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Shime.
All right. There's a lot of you waiting on hold with Celtics and draft phone calls. We'll work our way through those, and we're going to get some Bruins thoughts from Bridget coming up next.